Well, good morning. Church service is pretty much the same each week, right? You know kind of what's going to happen, when and where and what time and all that, right? Well, I want to do something a little different today. The message is out of your comfort zone. And so I want you to help me today. I need everybody's help here to help me illustrate this message. So I'm going to, you know, one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is to get out of your comfort zone. And I'm going to make you uncomfortable today. Is that okay? Everybody okay with that? Well, the two-thirds of you that aren't, I'm going to make you uncomfortable anyway. But anyway, not the same old service, not the same old routine today. Like I said, I'm going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and go somewhere else, get another seat right now. I'm serious. If it's too much difficult medically, don't worry about it, but find another seat, get in a different section, move to the center. There's plenty of seats. If you're on the back, move to the front. That's right. Fill those front rows up. There's always room in the front. Thank you for cooperating. Thank you for doing that. You'll be all right, I promise you. Out of your comfort zone. Acts 1:8. Acts, the book of Acts 1:8. Chapter 1, verse 8. That's kind of our anchor scripture for today, believe it or not. The verse says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, when I say comfort zone, what do you think of most? You know, most of us live in comfort zones. Now, they may vary from person to person, and some are very familiar. Are similar. But we like to live in comfort zones. We like to do what's familiar. Do what we always do. Eat at the same restaurant. Hang with the same friends. Take the same route to work. Same vacation, the same place. And especially sit in the same seat at church. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
There's a couple of problems with comfort zones. The first one is this, boredom. Boredom. You know, some of you have been bored and you didn't even realize it until just now. Man, it's quiet in here. I really ticked y'all off. It's boring doing the same things every day. Never doing something new, never changing the routine. The second problem with comfort zones is limitations. Limitations. See, when we stay in our comfort zone and never get dangerous, we limit our potential and our ability to impact our surroundings for Christ. See, this is a dangerous life series for those of you that may not have been here last week. And we need to live dangerously. Jesus never taught people to live in comfort zones. He knew from day one of his ministry that believers wouldn't be able to walk in faith if they stayed in a comfortable bubble. And I want to repeat what I stated last week. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make us safe. He died on the cross to make us dangerous. Jesus taught his followers to share the good news, heal the sick, cast out demons, to imitate him, to do the things that he did. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. That's the lifestyle that you and I are called to. Follow Jesus, live dangerously. We're supposed to be disciples and disciple makers. We're supposed to get out of our comfort zones and trust God with the outcome. In fact, we're not even responsible for the outcome, just for taking the risk, and the risk being not knowing the outcome. Cindy, did you move? Okay, I want to make sure. You're almost one seat. That didn't count. I made you uncomfortable by calling you out. She knows I love her. That's the lifestyle that we're called to. And again, the risk is not knowing what the outcome's going to be. You see, when we get out of our comfort zone, it stretches us, challenges us to trust God more. And some of you are still ticked off at me because you're in a different seat right now. Why? Because you're out of your comfort zone. I get that. And I bet a few of you either thought or maybe even said to the person next to you, if he ever does that again, I'm going to leave. Well, I could say, if that's your attitude, but I'm not going to go there. What I am going to say is this. Give God's Spirit a chance to show you something he wants to show you. Give him a chance to show you it's good to get out of your comfort zone. I don't want anyone to leave, but I don't want you to sit around in your comfort zone either at Heartcry. Do you know why Jesus teaches his disciples to get out of their comfort zones and live dangerously? Here's why. Because out of your comfort zone, when you get out of your comfort zone, it expands the kingdom of God. When you get out of your comfort zone, it expands the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus had a mentality that all of us need. It was a spiritual warfare mentality. He knew he had to be on the offensive. Not offensive, but on the offensive. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. Now, I'm going to put it up in the New Living Testament because that's what I want to show you from. Matthew chapter 11. Can we get that up, Twitch? And here, I just want you to get the first part first. And from the time that John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Stop right there. Until now, from the time John the Baptist began preaching up to now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. That means on the offensive, living dangerously, expanding God's territory in neighborhoods, in schools, in workplaces, and even in government. And that takes us out of our comfort zones. Why? Well, the rest of the verse. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. Violent people are attacking it. That's why. See, Satan hates it. He hates it when we invade his territory. And God loves it. And he expects it. But that right there, the last part of the scripture, is why so many Christians refuse to live dangerously for Jesus, because they know they're going to encounter resistance. And we by nature, we want to take the path of least resistance, especially when it comes to faith, don't we? You see, a comfort zone puts Christians on the defensive. On the defensive. And that's not where we're called to be. Listen to me. We have what the world needs. The problem is the church is sitting on it comfortably, modeling it very poorly, and presenting it all wrong. Let me say that again. We have what the world needs. The problem is the church is sitting on it comfortably, modeling it poorly, and presenting it all wrong. Amen. Here's the point. Life is a battleground, not a playground. Life is a battleground, it's not a playground. How many of you experienced that since revival? just in the last couple of weeks. I know. I've been hearing from you. Been experiencing a little bit of hell. What do you expect? You see, when God moves, Satan moves to counteract. He wants to steal your joy, discourage you, put you right back in your comfort zone because he likes you there. You're not a danger. You're not a threat there. Matthew chapter 9. Just turn back to the left of Matthew chapter 9. Life is not a battleground. Life is a battleground. It's not a playground. Verse 35 of chapter 9 there says, Jesus went about the villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and disease among the people. And verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he goes on to say, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You see, there's a great harvest. There's a great harvest. Not in India, not in China and abroad. The harvest is great right here in America, in Osceola County. And I believe most Christians don't have a good perspective of how plentiful the harvest really is. Noted actor Woody Allen once wrote this, I can't really come up with a good argument to choose life over death, except that I'm too scared. Too scared of what? Dying? Listen, Woody Allen is rich and famous, but he has the same problem that every person has when they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Rich or poor, male or female, famous or obscure, American, European, African, Latino, white, black, brown, you name it, if they don't know Jesus, they all have these same four things in common. They're empty, they're guilty, they're lonely, and they're afraid of death. If they don't have Jesus, every person has that if they don't have Jesus. You see, and we have the answer. We have the answer to those things. We have the answer to emptiness, to guilt, to loneliness, fear of death. It's the gospel of Jesus. And we need to live dangerous enough to reach them, to let them know the void in their lives is God-shaped, and it can only be filled with Jesus. But we won't and we can't if we stay in our comfort zones. We need to expand our vision. That's the next thing. We need to expand our vision. Why? Because everyone without Christ is lost. Everyone without Christ is lost. See, we look around at people and we see them on the outside of their lives and we think, wow, they got it all together. Wrong. The Bible says nobody can have it all together until they have Jesus. You might think, well, they don't want to hear me talk about Jesus. Wrong again. You know what the book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 3? I love that book. It says, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. That means people instinctively know that when they die, there's something else. There's something else. God has put a sense of eternity in human beings. So they'll have an urge to seek him. Listen, everybody's looking for God, whether they know it or not. God created humans with an emptiness that only he can fill. God created us humans with an emptiness that only he can fill. So if the harvest is plentiful, why are so few coming to Christ? Well, Jesus gave us the first reason in the scripture I read. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The workers are few. Where are the workers? Look around. They're supposed to be right here. Right now. It's us. It's us. We're the laborers for the harvest. And the second reason is that Satan knows once a person accepts Christ, he moves into the kingdom of God from the kingdom of darkness, and Satan knows he no longer rules their life. So he offers all kinds of spiritual alternatives to Christians, to Christianity. Buddhism, Mormonism, Hinduism, Islam, New Age, and others. Do you know that Oprah Winfrey has a church that meets on Monday nights worldwide? In 2009, it was up to over 3 million people. Why? Because people are looking for answers. And she's not giving it to them, by the way, because she doesn't get it either. Her answer is, any way to God is good, a good way. Listen, there's only one way. Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life that leads to God. And we need to live dangerous enough to stand on that and not sit back when we hear nonsense like Oprah's deceiving people. We need to expand our witness. Expand your witness. We need to expand our witness. Turn to the book of John. John chapter 3. We need to expand our witness. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was one of the leaders in the Pharisees, highly educated, very intelligent. And yet he knew there was something different about Jesus. And he came seeking him. At night, of course, so his buddies wouldn't know that. Wanted to stay in his comfort zone, but yet he was trying to get out of it. You see, here's how Jesus responded. You know, I said we need to expand our witness. Jesus didn't condemn Nicodemus for being religious. Jesus knew religion is a dead end because religion says if you're good enough, you'll get to heaven. The problem is no one's good enough. That's why Jesus. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Born again means a new spiritual birth, a new spiritual birth. See, we're all born naturally, physically alive. But when we're born spiritually dead. Millions of people go to church and follow all kinds of rituals. They're religious, but like Nicodemus, they're missing the spiritual change that comes in a relationship with Christ. You ask people, "Are you a Christian?" You get all kinds of answers. "No, I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, I'm Methodist, I'm Protestant," or whatever. "I believe in God." "Oh, really? Good. So does Satan." But that's not the right question, you see. Jesus had the right question. The right question is, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you had a heart change? Do you know you'll go to heaven when you die? Without any doubt. You see, expanding your witness means learning how to share the good news. and lead people to the answer. You have to adapt to the situation or the person you're witnessing to. There's not one set formula or script. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you and be sensitive to the situation and the person. Regardless of the situation, you can always share your testimony. That is, if you have one, of what Jesus has done in your life. And you know what? That's the most powerful of anything. That's the most powerful of any method. You see, if you haven't already done so, you need to think and pray and put to memory a 2 to 3 minute testimony of your life change with Christ. And always be ready to give it when the opportunity arises. Remember, listen, your witness has nothing to do with religion or church. You should be in church consistently, I might add. You can see the empty seats. But if a person is not born again, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to heaven. That's not an opinion. It's not a thought. It's the truth from God's word. You see, Nicodemus didn't get it at that time with Jesus that night. And Jesus let him walk out the same way he came in, lost. But he did plant seeds. He shared the truth with him in a kind but straightforward way. He planted seeds that the Spirit of God could work with. See, when we witness to someone, we fulfilled our responsibility. The Holy Spirit changes a person's heart. That's his job. And in fact, that's his specialty. But you know what? Later in the book of John, Nicodemus defended Jesus before the Jewish leaders. Something's happening there. And later, about a year and a half later, guess who shows up with Joseph to take Jesus' body from the cross and to apply spices and oils and make sure he had a proper burial? Yeah, Nicodemus. You see, apparently sometime between his visit with Jesus and the crucifixion, he became a believer. Here's another thing we need to do. We need to expand our patience. We need to expand our patience. You know, people don't always get converted the first time you witness to them. But that's not your responsibility. Remember, your job is to witness. The outcome is up to the person, that person, and the Holy Spirit. I've witnessed to people, Karen and I have witnessed to people for years. Just planting seeds before we saw a harvest come in. Look at John 3, verse 8 there. Verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not the wind, but he's like the wind. He can be everywhere, in and from different directions and ways. You see, God is limitless. The late A.W. Tozer, a great preacher and theologian, he wrote this years ago. We wrongly think about God in human terms. So we're left with a God who can never surprise us, never overwhelm us, never astonish us, nor transcend us. You know what he's saying there? We put God in a box. This safe box. This safe little box. So he doesn't rock our world. Get us out of our comfort zone. Jesus is saying here in this verse, just like the wind, the Holy Spirit can't be controlled. Our human minds can't fully understand him. But he works in his ways, in his own ways. And he knows what's best for every believer. But also like the wind, we know he's there. There's an unmistakable, an undeniable evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in a person's life. In their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is fresh, exciting, and dangerous. Step out of your comfort zone and let the Holy Spirit surprise you. The problem is many people will only follow the Holy Spirit so far. And then once he reaches the end of their comfort zone, whoa, what's going on here? What's happening? What's the outcome going to be? You see, the risk becomes more real. After Pentecost, we read in the Bible that the church literally exploded with thousands of new believers in Jerusalem. And after a while, they fell into a nice comfort zones in Jerusalem. Things kind of slowed down dramatically. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. They fell into kind of a comfort zone. So, kind of like this morning, I believe God said, we need to shake things up a little bit. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Now Saul was consenting, Saul who later became Paul, to his death, talking about Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. What happened? God allowed a great persecution against the church, and the believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now watch this. Look at verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. What happened? They got out of their comfort zones. Things began to happen. Wait a minute. Look at this. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, why don't we read about Philip's great ministry in Jerusalem? Probably because he was in his comfort zone. He was happy just waiting tables and serving a few widows here and there and just being kind of quiet and unnoticeable. He wasn't living dangerously until he got out of his comfort zone and he went down to Samaria. Listen, people, for most of us, it doesn't take going to another country to get out of your comfort zone. Just get off the couch, away from the TV, off Facebook for a few hours. Ooh. Volunteer in kids' church once a month. We need help. Go to a life group once a week. Looking for an opportunity at the grocery store, in school, or at work. Get out of the zone. Get out of the comfort zone. We need to expand our faith. We also need to expand our faith. You see, instead of shrinking opportunities, which is what a comfort zone does, it shrinks our abilities and our opportunities. Instead of shrinking those, drop the excuses and start living dangerously. Okay? Just drop the excuses. Well, I can't. Well, I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't know. I don't understand. Bull. Expand your faith. You see, it'll cause you to elevate. Philip was a nobody, but look what happened when he got out of his comfort zone and obeyed God. You know what else we need to do? We need to expand our life. We need to expand our life. What does that mean? Well, you think about the disciples. When Jesus came, here are these disciples. Most of them were fishermen. Fishing the same lake, in the same boat, cleaning and mending the same nets year after year. A couple times a year they'd go down to a feast and then back again. And you know what? If Jesus hadn't come along and called them, that would have been their life story. Lived and died fishing, fixing nets, selling their fish at the market, probably to some individuals, right there in Jerusalem, right there. But you know what? When Christ came into their life, their world changed. John, became bishop of Ephesus. Peter went to Rome. Andrew to the borders of Russia. And that's what God wanted. Follow Jesus. Live dangerously. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. That's exciting. That's the exciting Christian life. The Christian life is not supposed to be boring. We were meant to live dangerously and to expand our lives. All the while we're doing it, when we expand our lives, we expand the kingdom of God. And it's only possible out of your comfort zone, like you are this morning. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? You know, how's the view from where you're at now? Amen. You know, you see, it's okay to get out of your comfort zone. It's okay to feel different, but we need to do that consistently enough, because we get so comfortable that our faith gets comfortable, everything gets comfortable, and then it gets boring. And like I said, some of us are bored and we don't even know it. And if we're boring, we're going to bore other people. Amen? Put your notes away. Close your Bibles and your electronic devices. And let's just let Jesus talk to us for a minute. I want to ask you a question. Did your world change when you met Jesus? Did your world change when you met Jesus? Mine did. Drastically. Still had a lot of rough years. Still have a lot of rough times. But it still changed drastically. And it changed for the better. Let me ask you another question today as you sit here. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone and live dangerously for Jesus? I don't mean take your Bible and run down the street and get on the median screaming and hollering at people. I'm talking about living dangerously. We talked about this in Life Group Wednesday night. A couple of people shared some things. It was ironic they were both in the same settings. Not in the same place, but same settings. You know, my wife was in the beauty shop. And doing whatever she does there. Bottom line, spending money. And a lady got ill or something, and they called 911, or they were going to take her out to the hospital. And as they were taking her out, Karen stopped and asked, "Can I just pray for her? Can I pray for her?" And she said, "Yeah." So she prayed over her. And then they took her on out, and she went on down to the hospital. And she didn't think about it. It was just a natural response. And then later when she was back in there with the lady doing her, she says, "Was it all right for me to do that in here?" She said, "Oh yeah, that was fine." And someone else shared, I think it was in a beauty shop as well, about witnessing to someone and or being hesitant to. And I think, as I recall, the person was kind of negative or whatever. But anyway, they left. And they called back a little bit later and said, "Hey, I lost my debit card. Is it in there? Is it blah, blah, blah?" And this lady went out, looked, couldn't find anywhere, went out, and it was laying in the parking lot. So the guy had to come back and get it. And there was an opportunity to witness there. You see, not explosively profound, but that's living dangerously. Willing to just take that little risk. The risk that somebody might say, "I'm not interested. I don't want to hear about it." Okay? Live dangerously. Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone, wherever that is? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone at church? Move around a little bit. Get to know somebody. Are you willing to get into a life group and build some new relationships and get to know some other people in your church family? Are you willing to live dangerously? Let's pray together. And the last thing I want to ask you, I want you to think back that night that Nicodemus came in the darkness, a highly educated, very intelligent individual in a high position. And he came to Jesus and he said, I know you're from God because you couldn't do those things you do without God. Remember Nicodemus? It doesn't matter how religious you are. Here's the question I want to ask you. Have you met Jesus? Have you been born again? As you sit here today, can you consciously say without any doubt, have you been born again? Doesn't matter how religious you are. How many times you usher or how many times you come to church. There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. And so I just want to ask you again. Have you been born again? Not to embarrass you, but to encourage you. Because you see, I know that's the only way to heaven. Is to be born again. Well, how do you be born again, Pastor? You put your faith in Jesus as your Savior. That's it. You believe that He is Lord, the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead as your Savior. And you put your faith in that and trust Him. That's how you're born again. It's a spiritual birth. If you've not been born again, you won't go to heaven until you are. And today, you can be born again by putting your faith in Christ. Do that today. Right where you sit, just talk to Him. Just say something like, Lord, I believe You are the Savior. I believe You died and was raised from the dead. I believe that I need a Savior. And so I trust You as my Savior. Not understanding what all that means, but I just by faith give my life to You. Give You control. How about you, Christian? Are you willing to live dangerously? Willing to get out of your comfort zone? On a regular basis. Expand your life. Expand your faith. Expand the kingdom of God. Make that commitment today. That's what God planned for us. God, I pray this morning that Your words would sink deep into the soil of our heart. And the seeds that it sows would sprout, take root, and grow beyond belief in this thing we call faith, in this body we call church. God, if it gets boring, it's because of us. It gets old and staid, it's because of us. Because we won't live dangerously. We won't get out of our comfort zones. God, help us to get out of our comfort zones. Help us to know that there are people out there, even people that we know, that are just waiting for us to tell them about Jesus. To ask them if they've been born again. And God, even though we may think they don't want to hear it. They do, because You, God, have set eternity in the hearts of men and women and children. Father, I thank You that You seek us as we seek You. I thank You that You refresh us and renew us in our spirit and our faith every day if we'll just get out of our comfort zone. And allow Your Spirit to lead us. Lord, thank You for all the great things that You desire to do in our lives. Thank you for this plan of an exciting life, not a boring life. And I pray, Father, that we release ourselves to you to live dangerously for Jesus. And God, as we come to give you our tithes and our offerings, God, help us to live dangerously in that area too. Live dangerous enough to trust you, to tithe, to be obedient to your word, to honor you with our obedience. And God, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made a decision this morning, maybe you made a decision to give your life to Christ, to be born again. You know, take that connection point, fill it out, and just check it on the back. Gave my life to Christ. If you're watching on the internet, wherever you may be, on your computer watching, if you made a decision to be born again, go to our website, send an email in there so we can send you some information about beginning a relationship with God and encourage you with that. Whatever your decision may have been, put it down there so we can pray for you and encourage you today. Ushers, if you'll come forward and receive our tithes and offerings today.